One of the great things about our state is that, you know, we have four seasons, and every one of them is unique. Everyone has different qualities, and you also associate different foods with those kind with every one of those seasons as well. And I associate, when I think about food, you know who I think about? I think about Inga Wischer, because every time she's been with me, and when she comes to the show, she always brings me something. She brings, she's brought me homemade cheeses and all foods of all kinds. Not with me today in the studio, but she is with us from our studios in Eau Claire. And we're going to talk with her about summer on the farm. We're going to talk about summertime entertaining. And certainly take your questions or comments as we move along. What makes your summer party stand out? What are your best summer recipes? Have you spent any time on a Wisconsin dairy farm? Love to hear your experiences. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Inga Wischer, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hey, Larry, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
How are you? I you got that little smile in your voice.
Because I'm smiling.
You must be doing all right, too.
Oh, it's great. I love summertime. I'm so happy that I don't have to wear long johns every day when I get out of that, you know, when I go out to milk cows now.
Oh, and milking cow. And you know, people are wondering, how many cows does she have?
I got a big dairy. I got 11 cows milking right now. So had to downsize the herd a little bit, but I'm hoping to. I had a great group of heifer calves this year. So hopefully in a couple years, I'll be back up to about 20 cows.
And for those who don't know, you see, you've got a farm. You've got a small farm here, but it's an organic farm. Describe the farm.
Yeah, so I've got, it's a 30-acre certified organic grazing dairy farm. So I have Jersey cows, and we do a managed intensive grazing. Don't grow any of my own crops. I buy all my feed, and so that makes it a lot easier for me. And we milk in buckets. So it's kind of a retro feel on the farm. And during the summertime, my dad takes our milk and turns it into a cloth-bound, cave-aged raw milk cheddar.
And it's good.
Thank you.
It's very good. Do you do a lot of entertaining?
I entertain constantly. I love entertaining. I think it's one of the, I just love it. And, you know, my parents always entertained. And I thought it was just because they loved entertaining. But after I owned my own dairy farm, I realized it was because they could never really have a chance to get away. So they just have to bring the party to them. And I love doing that. Actually, we just threw a dinner party last night. And it was just fantastic. And this time of the year is great for parties, because there's so much abundance in the garden. And yesterday my cousin and I went out and we picked wild black caps and wild raspberries and turned it into ice cream. And it's fun to be able to kind of use these great ingredients this time of the year to impress your guests, I suppose.
Yeah, my garden, well, it's not producing a whole lot yet, but the farmer's market's right there. So
great time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, so what was your party like last night? What do you do for parties? Do you have themes around your...
I do. Well, so a lot of times I do. Like, if I have a bigger party, I like to have kind of... I like to make people feel, like, really special. Like, they're kind of walking out of their day, coming in, settling in. And I want them to know that, like, I appreciate them coming, and I want them to feel good. So a lot of times what we do is we hang bunting off the barn, and we bring all of our living room furniture outside and set it up in the garden and just make everything, like, really funky. And just so people, like, kind of say, oh, huh. It's not just like we're just rolling into her house and, you know, she's like, help yourself or whatever. Like, you know, I want them to feel like really fun. And I always like to have a signature cocktail, depending on the year. In the early spring and summertime when the rhubarb's out, I like to have rhubarb cocktails. This time of the year, you know, blackberries, like blackberry bellinis are really good. And I don't know. I think it's fun.
Inga Wischer, our guest. Host from Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. And as she says, she owns and operates her organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. Great to have her with us. You may have some summer party ideas, or maybe some summer parties that stand out, or maybe you had some disasters too. I've had one or two of those. I've had some good ones, but I've had some disasters too. You can share those with us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions, your comments. Or if you have a great summer photo, we'd certainly love to see that as well. So put that up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So summertime, when you think about recipes or think about food, what are the foods that are the products that stand out in your mind?
Oh, I think pesto is probably one of my favorite things that I make because it's, you know, it's easy to make. And then you can just toss it with some pasta and it's kind of a nice little dinner, right, for a mm-hmm. little dinner party or something. I love fruits in the summertime, everything. Yeah. Like last night we made I have a few chickens on the farm, so I had a bunch of eggs. And we kind of had an impromptu dinner party and I didn't really want to like drive to town and get groceries or anything. So mm-hmm. we grabbed some eggs, we made homemade pasta, we put some herbs in the pasta. When we made it, it was delicious. And just having those fresh herbs. You know, when you have good food, like if you're getting it out of the garden or getting it out of the farmer's market, it just makes everything taste so much better. And I love those like bright flavors. So I love doing like homemade pastas like that.
Do you make your pasta?
Oh, it's really easy. So like last night I did 3 cups of flour and then I think I used 6 eggs, mm-hmm. 3 egg yolks and then 3 whole eggs and then a little salt. And then I had some rosemary, some parsley and some things like that. Just chop that up. Put it right in there, and then just mix it up with your hands. And you get really dirty, but you feel like you've really put some of your heart and soul in there.
And then you just sort of flatten it out.
You just flatten it out, let it rest a little bit, and then I have a pasta machine that I can roll it out in, and then it cuts the fettuccine or whatever. But if you don't, you can just roll it out, like, roll it out thin on your countertop, and then cut it with a knife.
You know what? And fresh pasta is really good.
It's a whole experience. It's like one of those life-changing moments when you've had fresh pasta. I absolutely mean that. Like, it's the most amazing thing.
I would agree. Linda in New Berlin has a comment. Linda, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Just briefly, this is embarrassingly easy recipe tip for an easy summer appetizer. So for people that get intimidated with cooking or maybe you don't want to have anybody over during the week because it's too much trouble. But I just make, and I know you guys have all made these probably, but those little toothpick skewers, and then I put just grape tomatoes, and then I get the little mozzarella cheese, the little balls.
Yep.
And then just a basil leaf, and then, you just thread the 3 ingredients, and that's it. You put them on a little toothpick, and you make a little small plate of those, and just have some balsamic vinegar on the side, and that's about as easy as anyone can do for an appetizer. And every time I serve it, everybody loves it. So
that sounds great.
It is. And those are wonderful, Linda. I was at a party, I don't remember now when, it's about, I think last summer, and someone had done that, and I just gobbled those right down.
Yeah, and they look really impressive.
They do, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, even a non-cook like myself can do them, which I love, you know, so that's fine. The little grape tomatoes are, you know, particularly good for you. If you have cherry tomatoes from your garden, you could probably use those too, and I usually get those little balls of mozzarella, you know, that are already in, like, packed in the liquid you can get them from. Or Trader Joe's, or maybe your local market. So,
and that's an easy way to do it. Oh, Linda, thanks. You can invite me to your party anytime.
Yeah, right.
Sure, no problem.
Oh boy, thanks so much. And let's turn to Edie in Janesville. Hi, Edie.
Hi. I really want to know how I can get on this party list. it sounds like I'm a fun person, really. The reason I'm calling is you had mentioned summer cocktails, and I find myself, you know, opening the bottles of beer and the wine and not doing anything fancy. Do you have a recipe book, or do you have some suggestions about, you know, making more interesting cocktails during the summer with fresh fruits?
Sure. If you check out my website, aroundthefarmtable.com, I have, I think there's like 3 or 4 summer cocktail recipes on there. And but one tip, like really easy to kind of like spice things up and like make it, people just think that you're like this craft cocktail fanatic, is you can make herb simple syrups. So just take like a cup of water, half cup of sugar, and then you dissolve that down on the stove, you know, like over medium heat or something, and then put in a handful of herbs. So you can do basil. Like I do basil simple syrup, which is delicious. Rosemary, any lemon balm, you know, anything that's out in your garden. And it makes it like these amazing syrups. And then just add like, you know, an ounce to a glass filled with ice. You could put some, you know, vodka in there or whatever, crushed fruit, something like that. Or you, if you just don't want to have any alcohol, you can just put some sparkling water in there. So it's kind of like a nice little soda, like a little mocktail, which would be fun too. But,
good.
Yeah, but I think that simple syrups are great.
Your website again is?
It's aroundthefarmtable.com.
Around the Farm Table. All right. Thank you. I'm enjoying the program.
All right, thanks, and stay listening. I'm gonna have Inga give us another recipe because you mentioned fruit, blueberries, or blackberries?
Blackberries.
I'm gonna have you think about that now for a minute because we need to take a quick look at the news and weather here and find out what else is in store for us on the Ideas Network. But when we come back, Inga's talk a little more about blackberries in a drink. You stay with us. News next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, taking a look at summertime entertaining and visiting about it with Inga Wisher, who hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. So we're talking with her today about her farm, but one of the cool things about her show is that there's always food featured at some point in the show, and it's always wonderful. She does a great job, and I'm so happy to have her along today. So as we visit with her, I hope you'll join in. Do you have some summer parties that kind of stand out? What are some tips? What do you like to do for appetizers or for main courses in the summer? Do you like to sort of picnic outside, have your parties outside this time of year? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Inga, let's go back to the drink before we go to the phones here. Fritzy in Minnesota, we'll get to you in just a second. I mentioned, someone asked about drinks, and I mentioned, you mentioned blackberries.
Mm-hmm.
How do you incorporate those into a nice drink?
Well, what I did the other day is I had to recipe test all these cocktails the other day for this article. It was horrible. It was like, you know, like somebody's going to do it. But so I took a handful of blackberries and I put them in the bottom of my martini shaker. And then I took my, just like the back of a wooden spoon and just like crushed them all up in there. Right. So you want to get all those juices coming out. And then I did like a squeeze of lime juice. And then I put some basil simple syrup in there and shook it all up. I put it over ice with that was a different one. I put it in a champagne flute. All that recipe testing that day has my mind a little bit foggy today. And then I topped it off with some sparkling wine. And it was really pretty looking too. You know, it had that nice blackberry color, and it was delicious.
It sounds wonderful.
So I think it'd be fun for like a little brunch cocktail. Or, you know, like pre-dinner cocktails or something. It's kind of like a fun little... And I think there's something about drinking out of a champagne flute that just makes you feel special, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever do anything with strawberries?
You know what? I have this recipe for a rhubarb cocktail. And so this year I had a thing of strawberries sitting around, so I just pureed them with some rhubarb and then strained out the mixture and made like a juice out of it.
Oh.
And then you can add a little rum to that or something. It's delicious.
Oh, rum.
Yeah.
I actually have a lot of rum in my home right now that I...
Well, I'll be there in 15 minutes.
So wait a minute. So a handful of strawberries and a handful of... Chopped up
rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Yeah. And now it's got, is it still okay to eat rhubarb? Is it, do people say like after July you can't eat rhubarb anymore?
You're not supposed to eat it, but you know you can buy it frozen in the store too.
Sure.
So that's what I was thinking because I just saw some and the other day in the store and I thought, frozen rhubarb. So, Fritzy in Minnesota, it's your turn. Hi, Fritzy. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Greatly appreciated. I just want to say, Inga, I just love your show. It's a special place in my heart for your show. Whenever I see it on public television, I'm just like, I'm just glued to the TV, and I just really enjoy it. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a former chef. Used to own Chez Filet Restaurant in Wayzata from 93 to 2005. Landlord didn't renew the lease, so I never really opened up another shop again. But I'm a corporate chef now. But my question is, now I'm fortunate enough, I'm renting a little efficiency house on 15 acres in the Minnetrista area there, and I've always been intrigued by the outdoor, you know, the enchantment of the outdoor, you know, entertaining, and I do want to do that. My question is, have there been scenarios and situations where, you know, you've had to deal with the bug factor, and I guess, you know, how do you go about that, and is there just a better time of the year, do you think, or a better time of the day, or what do you do with that?
I just, you know, there's nothing. Well, see, I live on a farm, so it's like you want to talk about bugs. It's like they're everywhere. They love that barnyard smell. I just kind of just try to deal with it, and just I think everybody's kind of like, what are you going to do? You know, we'd rather be outside, and because there's something lovely about being outside in the summertime in Wisconsin. I mean, maybe that's because our seasons are so short, but I think that. Invite the right people. If somebody's complaining about the bugs, don't ever invite them back to your house.
One thing you can do, and it helps a little bit, is a breeze. So if you, like for mosquitoes, obviously the worst time for mosquitoes is right at dusk anyway. That's when they're going to be the worst. And if you've got a fan on, they're terrible flyers. They don't do well in the wind. So if you have a little fan going, sometimes that can kind of keep them down and keep them away a little bit anyway. I've used that at my home when I've been entertaining, and that seems to help.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again on television.
Hey, thank you.
So tell us, as long as Fritzy brought that up, talk about your show and what's going on.
Sure. So we're going to start. We're just filming the next season as we speak. Well, I'm not at this very moment. but we've got, I think, 4 episodes done, and we're going to try for 8 this year. And we're going to start airing on Thursday nights starting October 1st. At around 7 or 7:30. So, and it's going to be, we've got a fun season planned. One of the things that I'm trying to do this year on my farm is trying to like figure out how to add value without adding more animals and different things like that. So it's been a really fun year for me to go out and interview these farmers and talk about how they're adding value to their farms and so learning from these folks. And it's just really fun. We went up to Turnip Rock Farm the other day. Up in Clear Lake, Wisconsin, and I've been friends with them for a few years, and they just moved onto this new farm about 3 years ago, and now they're making a ton of different cheeses that are just delicious. They also milk 11 cows, which makes me happy that I'm not the only person, and they're doing a huge CSA. They just started doing a full diet CSA, so now they're selling different meats. They have cheese. They have all the vegetables. They have some great bacon that I just had the other day. And so it's fun learning about all this stuff and seeing how these farms are developing and turning into these just amazing little businesses.
And I bet you've got a few ideas. You probably don't want to let us know about them yet, but I imagine there's always something cooking in that.
There's always something cooking in the farm kitchen.
Oh, man. Well, Linda in Brookfield has a comment for you. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. I'm really enjoying listening to the program. And I was going to mention that, you know, I love entertaining and I love going to parties, and I have found one thing that really can have an impact is if you kind of have one memorable experience of the evening or of that party. So, for instance, for graduation, I went to someone's home and I took a big pinata and just filled it with a bunch of candy and little coins, which sounded so basic, but ultimately the graduates, the little kids, and even the adults loved whacking at that pinata.
What a great idea.
Yeah, and then for the 4th of July party, I just did, I actually had some fireworks, all legal, of course, and permitted, but then I also had done just little planters that I, you know, just got at the local store for a few dollars each in colorful vases and put them on all the tables as the centerpieces and then gave them to the guests as they left.
I love that.
I feel like when people do that, they'll go back to your party and they'll, you know, that's their memory of that party. You had a lovely meal and all that, but there's the one memory that kind of just pinpoints in their mind. And oddly, after that silly pinata, I had people calling me for 2 weeks saying how much fun the pinata was.
Oh, isn't that great?
I think you really nailed the art of entertaining right there. Is just, you know, doing those fun things that people really remember. Because, that, you know, that is what it's about. And people, I'm sure that everyone left the party and they were just feeling like, hey, that was great. Like, I'm glad that she took the time to do something really kind of fun. And it doesn't have to be something over the top.
Did you make a pinata?
No, you know what? I just bought it at Woodman's.
Got it at Woodman's?
It's a $20 pinata, and then I just threw it full of candy. My daughter helped me, so that was kind of a fun experience, too. And I will say, too, when I have those kind of experience creations, even if a menu item fails, no one remembers that.
Yeah.
They remember the fun part.
I think it's great. Also, like, just being, like, relaxed as a host. Because, you know, if you go to a party, I'm sure we've all been to a party where the hostess or the host is just so stressed out and they're just like wanting to make everything like look perfect or like, oh, you know, I have to like garnish every dish that goes out of the kitchen or something. And it kind of makes it like not fun. It's like, oh, okay. You know, it's more fun if people are relaxed and enjoying themselves too. I love that idea about the pinata. I'm totally going to borrow that if you don't mind.
If you make it look easy, they think you're like extraordinary.
Yeah.
Maybe it's really not that easy, but you just have to pretend it is.
Yeah, right. Just put a smile on your face.
Always wear a smile. That's right.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
Of course.
I appreciate the call. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, we've got open lines to get you on pretty quickly here. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. How do you entertain? How do you make your party stand out? Do you have some special dessert or main course that you love to present at a party? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions or your comments there. Someone wondered, how long in advance does Inga plan for her parties?
Sometimes 20 minutes and sometimes I love planning for parties. So like I have like a little three ring binder that I have in the milk house with me because whenever I milk, I always get like these like flashes of ideas, you know, it's like that's where the magic happens is when I'm milking cows. And then I write down little things like, oh, you know, I should do this and do this and do this and have so much fun planning the party. And oftentimes I never actually execute the party because I'm like, oh, it's too much fun planning it. Like, what if it doesn't turn out? It does in my mind. But I think that it's great. Literally, sometimes it's just like 10 minutes and I'm like, oh, just let's invite people over and just make it happen. But I like to get myself about a month of planning.
Yeah. And the day, you know, it depends a lot on, I found it depends a lot on, you know, what's the amount complexity associated with it. Sometimes I know if I'm doing a lot of sort of main dishes, I will outline the whole day.
Sure. Yeah, and I find like especially making a list for yourself for that party day of like, okay, or the week before, okay, I'm going to buy this, and it sounds so Martha Stewart when I say it out loud, but it's like, you know,
no,
you have like, on Monday, I'm going
to
buy this, and then you can check it off the list. So then on the day of your party, you're not like, oh, I forgot the lemons or something. And then you can give yourself a little time. And then you also, on that list, you can say, okay, the guests are arriving at 6. At 5 o'clock, I'm going to be done. I'm going to, you know, relax on the patio or whatever and be ready when my guests arrive. And so I'm not stressed out, so everything's fine. And then, because your guests, there's always going to be someone that's going to arrive half an hour early. And that person is usually me. So.
Well, you know, anybody who works in radio or television, I mean, time is so, you get so accustomed to, you have to be there at a certain time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know,
if somebody says, well, come at 7, and you get there at 7 or a little before, they'll say, what are you doing here? Well, you said 7. Oh, man. The nightmare is that it was Maury White, who I replaced many, many, many years ago. When he was 90 years old, he told me that he still had occasionally had a dream about being somewhere and realizing he was supposed to be on the air.
I thought yesterday I was driving to the store to get some farm supplies, and I'm like, oh, I hope I'm not supposed to be on the Larry Show right now. Like, oh my gosh. And I thought, well, they'll probably call. So. But I was listening to your show, and 11:45 came around. I was like, oh, no, it's not me.
It's tomorrow. Oh, man. Jean and Cudahy, comment from her. Hi, Jean.
Hi. You were talking about rhubarb. You could only use it up till July. I've never heard that before. We use it up until it freezes for the first year, and you use it all the way through.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Okay. Maybe somebody told me that because they were just so sick of me making rhubarb things. You know, they were just like, nope, sorry. It's the cutoff.
I have heard that. I'm going to have to look into that. And
yeah, because my mother-in-law always used it, and she used it up till the end. And when it was, you know, you could almost tell when it's not good. You'd take off the seeds part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it keeps coming, mine keeps coming up, and we use it until it's frozen, and we have a lot of it.
Wow. Well, thanks, Jean. I am going to have to research this a little more.
I'm going to have to call into Garden Talk on Friday and ask.
Yeah. I can't remember who I have on Garden Talk on Friday at the moment, but probably whoever it is will know the answer, be able to substantiate Jean's comment. And obviously, she's still with us. She hasn't keeled over from eating rhubarb at any time of the year. So
it's probably one of those things like not wearing white after Labor Day. You know, it's just like a thing someone like invented. But, you know, I think we can break those rules now. I'm going to go home and make something with rhubarb.
Do you have any suggestions for... Somebody else wondered this, for making cleanup easier for parties.
Yes, I usually invite my mother over for the parties, and she seems to do an amazing job. I can give you her phone number. I think one thing that I've learned is when I was younger, and people would say, oh, can we help you clean up? And I'd be like, no, you just go home. That's fine. I would love to do 5 hours of dishes. And now it's just kind of like, yeah, let's all pitch in, you know, and just get it done. Like, I have no shame in doing that anymore. But also, I think that when you're getting the food ready and everything ready for the party, just get everything, clean up as much as you can of the dishes that you've already used. Get the dishwasher empty, get the garbage bag set out. And I always have somebody with me, like whether it's my mom or my aunt, because a lot of times we'll throw bigger parties. Mm-hmm. And so I have my reinforcements with me, and I give everybody like a little job. Like, okay, well, here's, you know, can you make sure you're checking the restrooms and making sure that there's towels in there? Or, you know, can you make sure that you're looking at the garbage and changing out the garbage? So ask your, you know, one of your good friends that's there, or your spouse or your kids or something, say, this is what you're going to be in charge of today. So, and then it just, many hands make light work. So.
And I have gotten away from it. It's been a long time since I've used paper products. I bought a long time ago on sale, I think, a lot of plates, some nice, some fancy, some not fancy. But I've got enough to that I could serve maybe 120 people at my house. And I rather have that. It's, frankly, in the end, that goes in the dishwasher, and there's less mess, to be perfectly honest, than if you've got trash bags full of paper plates.
Yeah. We went around a couple years ago and just got, like, just really cool little plates from the thrift stores and stuff.
Yeah.
So they all have their special box. So we bring them everything out for the parties, and then just we have the box that we put them back in and put them away.
And away they go. Yeah.
Yeah. I also have a milk house tank that I fastened to the outside of my building so you can spray off things so before you take it inside.
Oh, man. Shannon and Monona, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, yeah, I just had a comment about how to host a birthday party that's fun for both adults and kids, especially when you can't do, like, drop-off parties. So one thing we started doing is we actually started doing movie nights for mostly birthday parties. So the kids will watch a movie, and then the adults usually have appetizers and cocktails, and then in the summertime we go and have a fire outside while the kids watch a movie, and everyone seems to be happy, and everyone has a good time, and it's just super relaxed. So that's a suggestion for young parents. So, thanks.
All right. Thanks Great a lot idea. For calling. Yeah, I like that idea a lot. We have, in my neighborhood, there's one family that has shows movies outside. And I haven't gone over there to check out the arrangement, but they've got a, sort of a big, like a sheet almost against the garage, and have a way of projecting it on the garage. And half the neighborhood kids are there some evenings to watch a movie.
I think that sounds like so much fun. Then you could just like make a bunch of popcorn. The kids can kind of help themselves. And
yeah,
oh, I love that idea.
Bobby in Lake Tomahawk, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a suggestion. This is for family reunions or just big family picnics. We got a couple 8-foot rain gutters at the hardware store and put them on the middle of long picnic tables and filled them with ice cream and then put all the toppings all along on both sides of the table, and everyone digs in and makes their own Sunday however they want it.
Wow.
That sounds so fun.
What a good idea.
My sister has done this every year with her children and grandchildren, and when we had our family reunion up in Door County, we did it up there, and some of the people thought, you know, who were around the area and just thought, oh, that was great. Well, she had gone to the hardware store to buy the rain gutter and was going back to Pennsylvania, so she gave it to the guy who said, boy, that'd be great at camp, and he was taking her over to camp to use it.
Oh, that's a one. So you just put the ice cream right in the gutter.
Right in the gutter. And then all kinds of toppings on both sides, whatever you want. And the kids just had a ball. And it's the most memorable thing for that family reunion.
Well, thank you so much for calling. What a great idea.
I love it that, like, using objects that you wouldn't think to use for that purpose. I love that idea. It's just so funky.
Yeah. Mark commented that he has a blue moon party every year on July 31st, and he gives everybody a CD with songs about blue moon.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, and you like, you're a Doris Day fan.
Big time. I love playing that kind of like, you know, just music that you wouldn't think that you'd be hearing as you walked onto the farm. And just we have speakers in the barn for the radio so we can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio as we milk the cows, of course. Mm-hmm. And then in this, when we have parties, we turn them outside into the yard and play like Doris Day or like show. I'm a big show tune person.
But
I've been rocking out to the just all kinds of different things at parties. It's fun. It's, you know, like from my grandparents' generation music.
Well, you are from your, you're a millennial, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
a millennial kind of a gal, and you do a wonderful job. And where's, now, again, if somebody just types in Around the Farm Table.
Yes, the website is aroundthefarmtable.com. You can also find us on Facebook, where I've been trying to update with some different recipes and some pictures, and that's Around the Farm Table. And then you can catch us on the air in October.
And you can actually go right now and see past issues. So
Yeah, on Wisconsin Public Television.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, Inga. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. I appreciate it very much. Inga Wischer, who is host of Around the Farm Table. She is one of the most delightful people you are ever going to meet. Believe me, she is great, great person and a whole lot of fun. And it's always fun to talk with her. And it'll be fun to talk to Laura Erickson tomorrow as well. I haven't heard from her in a while or haven't talked with her in a while. She's got a new book out, and then we'll also talk about a new field guide to Wisconsin grasses. Stay with us.